Thank you, sky, so bright and blue. Thank you, sun, for all you do, for shining on the dragonfly and frog and inchworm passing by. Thank you, birds, who sing so sweet. Thank you, grass beneath my feet, so green, so cool, so soft to touch. I love to dance and roll in such. For all the goodness that you bring, I thank you, Earth, for everything. You might imagine that that is something written for children. In fact, it is indeed from Goodness Gracious, the book that Susan mentioned. It's a book I did write for children, a book that was recently published, but I have to tell you, in my heart, I was writing it for the whole family. I was writing it to encourage children and adults to express gratitude in their daily lives. I wrote it to encourage families to ground their lives in a practice of gratitude. Now, I think it might be something that would have been good for Benjamin Disraeli to hear. Is anybody familiar with that name? Okay. Oh, there are some. Wonderful. I had no idea who he was, but I think he needs a little Goodness Gracious. Disraeli was a novelist, but he also was the British Prime Minister for a time in the late 19th century. And he said this: "I feel a very unusual sensation. If it's not indigestion, I think it must be gratitude." May we all know the difference between indigestion and gratitude, and may gratitude not be such an unusual sensation for each of us. See, gratitude isn't just for children, although we are so good at teaching the please and thank yous to our children, aren't we? Gratitude isn't just for children. And while we may be close to entering that time of year when being thankful is in vogue, gratitude is not exclusive to a particular season. I would posit that gratitude is exactly what we as a society, what we as a world are in short supply of. I would further posit that this could be something that could actually be transcendent. Gratitude is a feeling. It's a feeling that occurs and exchanges when one person acknowledges receiving a benefit, a valuable benefit from another. And much of human life is about that giving and receiving and repayment. There's this energizing and motivating quality to gratitude. It's the key link in that dynamic between receiving and giving. And it's not just a response to kindness received. It is a motivator of future benevolent actions. You see, gratitude is not an intellectual activity. It's not a belief. It's a feeling. It comes from the heart, not the head. Now, let's be brutally honest with one another. Unitarian Universalists are not always known for being particularly good when it comes to affairs of the heart, because we do tend to be a kind of a neck-up bunch. Am I right? We tend to be heady. We often like our sermons to be intellectually stimulating. So for those of us that kind of need that head stuff, let's look at some science. I brought you a little science on gratitude. Arthur Brooks is the author of a book called Gross National Happiness. And in it, he claims that acting grateful can actually make you grateful. See, gratitude stimulates two very important regions in our brains: the hypothalamus, which regulates stress, And the VTA, this is a group of neurons at the very center of the brain. And they play a significant role in our brain's reward system, determining how well our needs are being satisfied. Gratitude maximizes pleasure. There's a well-established law in the psychology of emotion. It's called the principle of adaptation. Because we adapt to circumstances. I'm sure you've had to adapt to circumstances in your life, both pleasant and unpleasant. But our emotional systems, they really like what's new and shiny. So, unfortunately for our personal happiness, adaptation to pleasant circumstances occurs more rapidly than adaptation to unpleasant life changes. And that's why, even when someone has a huge windfall, it tends to impact their happiness just for a short time. Have you noticed that? A huge windfall, something hugely grand and wonderful, and within a few months, it's faded, on to the next. And we return to that same level of happiness we had before the windfall. But there's something that can change that. There is something that can actually prolong the increase in happiness, and that's gratitude. Gratitude promotes the savoring of the positive life experiences we have, the situation, so the maximum satisfaction and enjoyment are derived from our circumstances. Gratitude promotes physical health. It reduces bodily complaints. It increases our sleep duration and efficiency. It promotes exercise. Experimental research suggests that discrete experiences of gratitude and appreciation will actually increase your heart rate control. It will actually lower systolic blood pressure. Just being grateful. It's not a transient emotion. It's also a virtue. Grateful people are more prone to respond with gratitude to a wide range of beneficent actions. They're more likely to notice beneficence on the part of others. They're more likely to respond instead of with shame or guilt or resentment, with alternative emotions, all because of feeling grateful. Robert A. Emmons is a professor of psychology at the University of California in Davis, and he calls gratitude the queen of virtues. I love that he didn't say the king of virtues, he said the queen of virtues. Gratitude is a human strength. It involves and encourages even more positive social interactions, in turn making people better adjusted, accepted by people around them, and it leads to well-being. Don't we want to be well? Don't we wish for others to be well? Grateful people are rated by others as more helpful, more outgoing, more optimistic, more trustworthy. I want some of that. Gratitude protects against the negative, mitigating toxic emotions. So can we just agree, gratitude is good for you? Yes? But why this grounding in gratitude? And we're Unitarian Universalists. We know about saying thank you. We know about being grateful. Well, in addition to being a feeling and a virtue, gratitude is also ethereal, spiritual, transcendent. Philosophies and theologies have long viewed gratitude as central to the human-divine relationship. And as long as people have believed in some kind of a supreme being, those believers have sought ways to express gratitude to that being. So in the monotheistic traditions, gratitude is really a universal religious emotion. And it's manifested in the offerings of thanks described in ancient scriptures, in the daily ceremonies and rituals of Native Americans, and the contemporary praise and worship music of the evangelical tradition. Now, I grew up in a Southern Baptist family in Oklahoma. And while the Christian mystic Meister Eckhart wrote, "The greatest prayer anyone could ever utter is simply, thank you," my granddad would disagree. My granddad would never have a prayer that simply said, thank you. His prayers, while heartfelt, were longer than my doctorate dissertation. Mealtime was an exercise in patience for a young child waiting for the blessing to conclude and the eating to begin. I admit I actually fell asleep once before the amen. So what about the non-theistic traditions? What about for humanist people like myself? Our gratitude is rooted in the sense of wonder in this world, not of a possible world to come. It is rooted in the sense of wonder for right here, right now, today. Though the concept of a personally transcendent God is not relevant in non-theistic or humanist traditions, gratitude retains its spiritual nature. The fundamental spiritual quality to gratitude transcends religious traditions. And it's conveyed in this way. It is an attitude in which people recognize that they are connected to each other, connected in a mysterious, nearly miraculous way that is not fully determined by physical forces, but is part of a wider transcendent context. That spiritual core of gratefulness is essential, because true gratefulness rejoices in other people. It has as its ultimate goal reflecting back the goodness that one has received by creatively seeking opportunities to give. The motivation for doing so resides in the grateful appreciation that one has lived by the grace of others. For all of those reasons, for the science, for the spirituality, I implore us to ground ourselves, to plant our feet in what I call the rich soil of gratitude. As we walk on our journey, I implore us to plant our feet and to walk along in gratitude every step of the way, because in that way, the impact we have in the work we do as Unitarian Universalists, as religious progressives, the work we do will have an impact that is wider and deeper than we can now imagine. Because rather than grounding in anger, and there's a lot to be angry about in the world, I don't deny it. I don't ask you to turn away from it or ignore it. But if the grounding for our work in social justice comes from a place of gratitude, I guarantee the impact we make will be wider and deeper than we have ever imagined. Gratitude doesn't come easily. It doesn't come naturally to many of us. It has to be consciously cultivated. Because after all, there are forces that have contributed to the erosion of gratitude in our contemporary culture. Loss of an absolute moral order, loss of contact with the natural world, loss of a sense of rootedness, loss of a sense of what has gone before. It's important, it's possible to be grateful even when it is difficult. My two friends, Idris and Adnan, two beautiful young men, they hail from Ghana. They did not know each other until just a couple of years ago. You see, both of them sought to flee a country that looked for them to kill them. They succeeded in killing Adnan's boyfriend. They have since sent threatening letters and posted wanted ads in the local newspaper. Idris and Adnan, although they did not know each other before, they were both gay young men living in Ghana. To continue living there as who they truly are was a death sentence. And so each of them fled. It was a journey that took nearly a year. I will not go into the details of this horrific journey, but as you can imagine, there was much that was seen that you would never wish to see. They took the year, each of them, they met on that journey, and they arrived. They arrived in California, where they were immediately imprisoned. But it was Unitarian Universalists. And boy, does that just touch my heart. There was two Unitarian Universalist women. They had been married nearly 30 years themselves, and they volunteered through a social justice program in their congregation to visit detainees. They visited Idris and Adnan, and they visited many others who had been detained. They became a part of their lives. And in fact, Idris is now in New Jersey, and Pam and Don will be traveling from California to New Jersey for his hearing for asylum just next week. I tell you about these two young men because I am blown away by the gratitude that they express. It is possible to be grateful even in difficult situations. It is important to find gratitude, to express that gratitude. They are grateful to have been able to make the journey. They are grateful to have landed in the United States. They are grateful for the Unitarian Universalists who stepped up, who connected with them. They are grateful to be here. Adnan's parents, both his mother and father, died while he was making the journey. They have lost so much, but they are grateful because they know they have so much. Gratitude sometimes means seeing a situation in perspective. Sometimes it means saying it could be worse. But in some situations, for gratitude to really heal and be transformative, it starts from a dark, murky place, a place of unknowing, sometimes even a place of terror. Gratitude for this kind of inner space requires, above all, a willingness to be there fully, to live, to say yes to life. Gratitude is about saying yes to life. It opens the opportunity for yes. It's a way for us to say yes as it helps us negate what holds us back. What is holding you back? What is holding you back? Perhaps gratitude can step in, can negate that, and you begin with an awareness that then can be focused, and gratitude can become a way of grounding in your daily life. There are so many ways. In the book, I write to children about the different ways, different sayings, different things we can do every single day to express gratitude to the sun, to the moon, for this place, for you. Pausing before a meal, not my granddad's 10-minute dissertation. Just a pause. No one has to know what you're doing. It's just a pause to be mindful of how that food actually arrived on your plate. That leads us back through all of the people who had some hand in getting it there. The cashiers, the shelf stockers, the grocery store managers, the truck drivers, the loaders, the processors, the pickers, the planters, the slaughterhouse workers, and then beyond people, to the soil, to the sun, and further still, to the insight that we are fully dependent. You see, we don't exist apart from something that is greater than ourselves, and that is each other. Even a brief pause to express our gratitude can instill in us a desire to give back in some way, to live not just as recipients of the earth's abundance, but as people who actively engage in the wider world, people who work for justice and peace, people who work for healing and repair, people who work to sustain the earth and all of her creatures. Heartfelt gratitude ought to yield some kind of participation, some kind of commitment, some kind of action. While children are being denied school lunches, they'll be denied tomorrow because their family can't afford to pay for them. While women are denied reproductive health care based on religious ideology, while migrants longing for life are dying on the journey or while in detention, while our planet cries tears that flood entire cities and endanger entire species, while people with different skin color, different sexual or gender identity, or different socioeconomic circumstances are seen as others and discarded as less than, while all of that swirls, we are called by our best selves, by those who have gone before us, by our being interconnected, to participate, to commit, to act from a place of gratitude. That gratitude strengthens our relationships. It cultivates that sense of interconnectedness. It contributes because it is benevolent and it is just. Gratitude takes us outside of ourselves, where we can see ourselves as part of a larger, intricate network of sustaining relationships. My friend, Reverend Matthew Johnson, said that when we name what we're thankful for, when we actually say, "I am thankful for," it reminds us not all is bleak. It fixes before us what we have to bring to the table of community and to the work of our lives. It moves us toward community. We have different gifts, you and I. My cupboard may be bare, but I have stories. Others will bring the feast, and we can be grateful together. We can share together. If you notice that narcissists are never grateful for what others do or bring, they just can't say thank you without making it about them. There's always a focus on what's wrong with other people instead of being grateful for what's best in them. Do you know anyone like that? A sense of entitlement, a sense of greed. Gratitude moves us to open-hearted care, to community, because we are, as the Sufi mystic Rumi proclaimed, we are the three or four walls together that support a roof and keep the grain safe and dry. We, you and I, are the ink and the pen that bring the blank paper to life. We are the rushes and reeds woven together, connected. I hope that today you find authentic people here. I hope that in your search for the right, for the good, and for the uplifting, we'll be inspired today. I hope that you will be encouraged to act according to your own best beliefs. And I hope, above all, if you know nothing else today, you know the difference between indigestion and gratitude. But more importantly, I hope you know that wherever you have come from, wherever you may be on your life's journey, whether we have met before or will never meet again, I am deeply grateful for you. Blessed be, and may it be so.